DrawnByJohn.com presents We Got the Geeks comic panel.
All right. Welcome to another exciting pumpkin bomb throwing, Shazam yelling episode of the comic panel. And joining me here today, after answering the Avengers Assemble call to arms, if you will, message on Facebook, it's our good friend Hunter.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, no problem.
So we got some news to get to this week, a top 10, some reviews, and all that good stuff.
Yes.
So this week, the July solicitations came out for DC, and Marvel, actually. And there was a few announcements worth mentioning. First of all, I guess Winter Soldier's been canceled with issue 19.
Oh.
You got to figure there's going to be a new series coming out once Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, comes out in a year and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've just started filming that.
Yeah, oh yeah, the first still from that came out this week.
Yep. So, yeah, it just makes you wonder if they want people to forget about him.
Maybe.
That's the thing. Like, if you get people getting into comics in the next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't want them to know who this guy is before the movie, so that you can do more of a reveal with him in a Captain America storyline.
True.
Because it's always the tie-ins, right?
So. Oh, yeah. The tie-ins always, when the movies are released. We've had this discussion before.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Spider-Man Back in Black series.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And then the X-Men going to leather. But, yeah. So it makes me think that they're just trying to die him down to, like, pitch him back up, right?
That sounds about right.
It's fine. And if you've got nothing to tell with a character or nobody wants to tell a good story, don't just force somebody to write it because you want to keep a book going.
Right.
That's the worst thing you could do.
You're right. It'll probably make a revival in the next year, though, I bet. And I bet you those initial issues where he came back are going to go right through the roof in value.
Oh, yeah.
Which, they weren't bad, actually.
Yay, speculators markets.
Yay. Well, geez, if the Rocket Raccoon issues just went up in value, then I'm sure that one...
Really?
Went. Yeah, I can't remember the exact value, but his first appearance just went at an auction somewhere.
Huh.
Rocket Raccoon, the stupid raccoon from space.
What did you call him?
Thank you. Let's see. Oh, the Shazam backup series from the Justice League comic is going to be collected into a 192-page hardcover in September.
Wow.
Jeff Johns and Gary Frank. Really good story. It'd be cool to see it all in one place instead of five pages at a time.
I hate the hardcovers coming out first, because they're always, like, triple the cost.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I want to get you.
Eventually.
I just don't want to pay through the nose for a hardcover.
Oh, I'm the same way, actually.
I mean, buying trades as it is expensive in its own right. I mean, it's comparable in price to just buying all the single issues, but...
With Marvel, they seem to release a billion trades and hardcovers every week now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be good to see that one. I haven't read it, but...
Yeah, they actually write him as a kid when he's... Well, he's not Captain Marvel anymore. He's Shazam. But
yes,
when he is the superhero persona, he's still acting and thinking like a kid.
Which is good, because, I mean, that's how you differentiate him from Superman, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's very much a... He is a child.
Well, his first thought when he turns into Shazam is, I can go buy beer now. So...
I don't know. I mean, so okay, so there's the situation for you. You're running a beer store. Just think like the beer store down over on Welland Avenue or whatever. Guy walks in, red unitard, the high yellow collar, and a flowing yellow cape, and goes, I would like a case of beer.
I probably wouldn't question him just because if he has money.
Yeah,
I'd laugh about it.
Like, he pulls out a piggy bank. Like, I've been saving for this.
I'd laugh about it and tell everyone.
Oh, I don't know. Man. Yeah, I guess. It just reminds me of, like, the, like, Tom Hanks in Big kind of thing, right?
Right.
There's all kinds of problems that happen there.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Hey, September is Villains Month at DC.
Is it?
So, yeah, what that means... it's going to be the second anniversary of the New 52, the rebooting, if you will. Last year they had their zero issues out.
Right.
This year, instead of the regular titles in September, all the titles out that month will be villain related.
So we'll have like Lex Luthor number one, yeah, Joker number one.
Yeah, pretty much. And with Batman,
Sinestro,
there's like...
Sinestro number one.
Yeah, Black Manta. But then in October, it'll just go right back to normal. So another marketing
See, now, I think that'd be an interesting time to launch a villain that nobody's ever seen before.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do, like, mixed in with all the Lex Luthor, the Joker, all this. Launch somebody that nobody's ever seen before as a villain, as a number one, and have everybody go wild as to whose villain it's going to be.
Yeah, that's true. That'd be a great idea, actually. Get on that, man.
Yes, get on that. Yes, this is, we've already established that I need to write more comics.
In your spare time, get on that.
Well, I think, like, if you're going to do something like that, like, do it for a good reason. Like, not just a, hey, it's our anniversary. Guess we got to do something.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, DC is just in a bad marriage with its own New 52. Like, the first year's the prequel anniversary.
Oh, jeez.
The second anniversary is the villain anniversary.
I wonder what the third year is going to be.
Team-ups.
Team-ups, yes. Elvis is wondering as well.
Yes, Elvis is very much on against the New 52.
Oh, even he knows it's a gimmick.
He stormed out of the room.
Like those foil covers from the 90s.
I loved those foil covers from the 90s.
I did a little bit too, though.
I have the Spider-Man ones that came out at the time where they had like the really like neat 3D hollow foil cover, and I'm like, oh, they were horrible, but
I had some
neat
Avengers ones too.
Well, because like the kid in me is like, wow, this is nifty. Of course, I'll pay $7 for it.
Oh man, and I guess they kind of did that with the Ultron series a little bit too. That's out now.
Yes. Well, I mean, and these days it's variant covers, right?
Yeah.
Like
very many variant covers.
Well, yeah. Like that was the thing. I remember back in the 90s, like you might get one variant cover, depending on what the issue was. I mean, I think a couple number ones, you might have had like three or something. Mm. But for the most part, if they're coming out with a variant, they might have only had like two.
Yeah.
And then it just went hog wild. And I remember collecting like Angel comics in the early 2000s. And it's like, which of these six covers did you want?
You know, it's real sad. I just got...
And then you have like the Chase cover. And it's like, oh, I got the issue I wanted, but apparently I didn't get the right issue I wanted.
Yeah, I'll show you an example. That Guardians of the Galaxy 1 here, there's 16 different covers for it.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Jesus. Because didn't DC not long ago have their, like, 50 state variant covers?
And the only thing different was the flag. Like, everything
else. Oh, was it really just the flag?
Yeah, it was just the flag.
Okay. I guess that's not as bad then. Like, that is a cop-out, to be sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not as bad as having, like, 50 radically different covers.
They were selling a box set of all those covers, too, though.
That's even worse, then.
I know.
Wait, is one of those Guardians of the Galaxy covers is a Days of Future Past ripoff?
Yep. I think there's a little kid version, which they do with everything now, too.
I think one of those is a Future Foundation ripoff, too. A lot of these look like they're probably supposed to be homages.
Okay, I didn't pay that much attention.
I'm just getting a brief look at a couple of these, and I think some of them, like the one cover in the bottom left-hand corner, looks a little like the first issue of Future Foundation, I think.
Yeah, it kind of does, actually.
So I wonder if that, with that many covers, if they were going for something.
Yeah, maybe. There's a Deadpool cover there.
I was going to say, it's between that Infinite Crisis with Superman holding Supergirl's body and the Spider-Man, like the very first Spider-Man cover, Days of Future Past has to be like top five for redone covers.
I think so, actually.
Because I don't even think like Action Comics with Superman gets done, like...
I've seen that a few times redone,
few times. Like, the Spider-Man one, like, you had Deadpool do his version of it.
Yep.
You've had just, like, how many covers of Spider-Man alone have riffed on that one? Because, the first costume with first issue with him in the black costume was a redo of that.
Yeah.
And then they had, like, I think, like, Stephen Colbert even got a version of that cover.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then, yeah, you start seeing all the Days of Future Past covers, and it's like, yep, all right.
Oh, boy.
Variant covers of variant covers.
Yeah, I guess so. What else? Did you hear about the Andy Diggle quitting Action after one issue deal?
No, I didn't hear about Andy Diggle leaving. I did hear about Orson Scott Card.
Oh, yeah, he caused quite the kerfuffle with the Adventures of Superman, I guess.
Yes, to the point that they're just not even going to bother putting it out anymore.
No one wanted to work with the guy. There was a couple artists that declined. The guy that was originally supposed to work with him said, I can't take the pressure, no way. And then another guy quit, and they're just not going to do an issue with him now.
Yeah.
But the real story hasn't come out yet, but they've been heavily promoting Andy Diggle and Tony Daniel taking over Action Comics.
Anthony Daniels, as in C-3PO?
Not Kathy also made that reference.
I was going to say, I would read a C-3PO written.
That would be interesting.
Anthony Daniels and Kenny Baker are drawing Hawkeye.
But there've been posters in all the comic book stores. The ad was in just about every DC comic for 2 months. And then the week before his first issue came out, he said, nope, instead of this long arc, I'm doing one issue. So then the next day, Tony Daniel, not C-3PO, said, okay, I'm drawing it. I'm going to write this series from now on once he leaves.
Oh.
A few days after that, nope, I'm only on for 3 issues, and then I'm leaving as well.
So I wonder, it makes you wonder if the story is just that bad that he started writing it, the first guy started writing it, and went, I have no idea how to finish this.
Maybe.
And the other guy's like, no, I got this, I can pick up the slack. And he gets 2 issues into it, and he's like, well, I've just written myself into a deeper hole. Nope, not my problem. This is the thing that comes up so often with, like, celebrity artists or celebrity writers, where it just falls to pieces. I mean, Kevin Smith seemed to take forever with any series that he was writing.
Oh, yeah, to this day, actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Frank Miller, when he came back, was just creating trash.
Mm-hmm.
So, it makes you wonder, like, how long until, like, they try and bring somebody back, and it's just garbage over and over again.
It's true, but this week they said Scott Lobdell will be taking over Action Comics in August, and he doesn't know how long he's staying, he said.
Well, hey, if anybody can do a good run on it, he's done a lot of the X-Comic. Like, he did a lot of the X-Men, X-Factor,
and
all that. So he's got...
Well, he's also writing the regular Superman title and Teen Titans for DC now.
Interesting. I'll have to check those out. I actually...
Maybe he'll be on an issue.
I had no interest in reading Superman in the New 52, but I don't know if you want to put Scott Lobdell on it.
Yeah, I stopped collecting Superman for the first time since 1986.
Yes, that's how bad I got. Tragic day.
I'm still with Action. Don't know for how much longer. Mm-hmm. I am looking forward to Superman Unchained by Scott Snyder that's coming out, but it's Jim Lee as well. He's also bad for deadlines.
He's bad for deadlines, but his quality's high.
Yes.
Like, there's a certain point at which I'm willing to give people credit for the work that they do eventually put out.
Okay.
So, like, you get little bits of leeway based on who you are, but okay. It goes away over time, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's still convinced that, remember All-Star Batman and Robin? Yeah. Which I think they never finished and it took 4 years to put out, like, 6 issues?
Yeah.
He still claims that that's coming out one day.
I hope not.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It's a terrible series.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well drawn. I'm not going to... Like, let's put it this way. I love his art on that series. I think the series itself is terrible. You've got a, like, third issue devoted entirely to a high-kicking Black Canary working a bar.
Oh, yeah. And Robin ate a rat, I think, or he was about to.
Oh, well, yeah. Robin was trying to eat rats in the cave. Yes. Because it builds character. Like...
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, well. Yeah, Jim Lee's a good artist. He had a good Justice League run recently, too.
And, I mean, he's drawn Superman before in Superman Batman. So, if anybody can maybe give him a new costume or fix the one he's currently got.
And I think he's supposedly getting another costume.
Well, there's a great shot on the internet that's just like Superman getting uppercutted and he's just flying backwards, but the drawing has the red shorts back on him.
Really?
So the caption is just, have you ever been hit so hard you got your pants back from before, okay, from another reality?
Yeah, I saw that, actually. That's pretty funny, actually.
So,
I don't think the shorts are coming back at any... like, he's not...
Maybe Booster Gold had to go back to the future to get him his shorts.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he should go back.
Be like, maybe the thing that Booster Gold was so against was not him making out with Wonder Woman. It was the lack of shorts.
Oh, yes, that sounds like a good movie, too.
Yeah. Booster Gold, traveling through time to find Superman short. Maybe that's why he's with Jonah Hex.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Like, I heard Superman was here once.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back with some more comic talk after these words.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Face front, true believers. John Ballmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3x5 inches to 11x17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Ballmer.
All right, we are back here on the comic panel this week. I'm sitting here once again with my good friend and excellent co-host, Hunter.
Excelsior.
Excelsior. Enough said. One other announcement this week. So, also coming out in September, DC is putting out the Trinity War crossover. First details came out this week. It's going to be 6 issues running through just the Justice League titles in August and September. And it was originally first mentioned in last year's Free Comic Book Day book. And it was supposed to be like a company-wide crossover. Now it's just the JLA books. And it's going to deal with the Trinity of Sin, with the Phantom Stranger, Pandora, and the New Question. I'm not sure how I feel about that guy yet. But it'll be out in
New Question, or is it still renamed Montoya?
Oh, it's a New Question, but now he's some sort of god that was punished. In the preview last year, they showed olden times with the Phantom Stranger and this guy with no face. They called him the Question, and then he showed up in the Phantom Stranger last week, like dressed like the regular Question from the old series.
Oh, weird.
I didn't read it, but I don't know if I like where they're going with this guy.
Have they done anything with Pandora since Flashpoint? Like, anything meaningful, I mean?
She showed up in a Justice League backup, and her and the Phantom Stranger knew that there was another reality before this
one. Yeah, see, I get the feeling that she's playing, when they did the House of M in Marvel, they had, like, the one character, this little girl, that knew there was another reality, and she was trying to get everybody to believe her, and it lasted an issue. I feel like this character is the same thing for this new 52. Yeah. They've just drawn it out for 2 years.
And it was just a tease, because, hey, maybe it could come back, but it's not.
Even if it does, it's not going to be...
Elvis is fed up with it as well.
It's not going to be the same thing.
That's true.
It'll be some kind of amalgamation of the two, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They'll try and be like, oh, well, we like these things that are happening.
You know what? I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of crap in the new 52. Yeah. Although I have to admit, like, some of the best Batman stories have happened since this.
Yeah, but I mean, Batman sort of lived outside of this continuity, right?
Right.
Like, he's just there.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's not like they undid... Like, what are the major events of the Batman mythos that got undone?
Yeah, I mean, we've had this discussion as well. Other than the... you came up with a nifty 5-year timeline for the Robins.
Yeah, I mean, I could, like... There's a timeline that you can put a lot of the major Batman events into. Like, you can... I think the only one that because it takes so much time... would be the No Man's Land cataclysm
right.
kind of event. I think there's just... That goes over such a long period of time. I don't think it fits into the sort of 5 years
right.
that... But that's fine. I mean, for the most part, that's a good standalone kind of story. If you have to
yeah.
get rid of that, whatever. But, I mean, like, think about other people that if you get rid of... If you just try and condense their entire lives into 5 years,
yeah.
what kind of stories you're completely losing out
yeah.
on? Like,
well, Hal Jordan's stuff never changed either, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also brings up way more questions. Like, okay, so there's only been 5 years of people in action, and you've gone through how many Green Lanterns?
Yeah.
Like, all right, was each one working for, like, a couple weeks?
And I gotta think about, well, if Blackest Night still happened, who were all the dead heroes and villains that came back?
Silver Age?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, maybe the Justice Society of America could still be in there. If you figure this batch of heroes only started maybe 5 years ago, mm-hmm. you could still have another group of heroes from, like, 50 years ago.
Okay.
That had been running around.
I mean, maybe that's still to come. I think they were trying to make it like Superman was the first hero that this world had, and maybe there were some people working in secret.
Well, yeah, because Batman, like, they already established Batman was more or less working in secret. I mean, Oliver Queen at that point was probably still stuck on the island
yeah.
before Superman showed up.
True.
But, I mean, even if you compare it to something like Smallville, where Smallville had, hey, Clark Kent is the first hero running around. There were still people doing their thing on the side. I mean, they might not have been
right.
classified as heroes, but there were still people doing stuff.
Right. And they had the Justice Society on that show running around.
They did have
the
Justice Society on that show. But, I mean, like, you've got Alan Scott, Green Lantern, running around too, right?
So he's on Earth 2.
Oh, he's on Earth 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll just have some storyline where all the heroes that were in, like, 50 years ago just got shunted into Earth 2 or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
That would be cool.
It's just hard to write yourself into a corner when you say specifically 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you said, it's been a couple years, you've given yourself some leeway. As soon as you say, it's only been 5 years... Now you've got everybody going, okay, well, how did all of this happen in this amount of time? If it's vague, you can be like, oh, okay, like, Batman was going around for, like, a little while. Superman did his thing. I mean, like, did Superman die in this universe?
I don't think they've established that yet.
Because that was a good, at least, like, 6 months, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So, out of this 5 years, he took half a year off, like...
Yeah.
I mean, because then even it doesn't have the same depth. Like, Superman had been going for so long, like, he'd been around for a long time in that world.
Yeah.
And then he died. Like, there was a big deal. But he's been, like, say it happens halfway into his career. Okay, 2.5 years into his career, Superman died. It sucks.
Yeah.
But it's... doesn't have the same weight to it.
Yeah. I think they started this whole 5-year timeline, like, going back to the 90s, I remember. They had that Series Zero Hour that came out.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, they had this big 5-year timeline where
which
they crammed
fun.
Everything
which
in
is
there.
Fun. Like, a lot of comics have that sort of sliding time scale, right? Where,
yeah.
I think Spider-Man had it where, I mean, 5 to 10 years of comics history had passed. And he had mentioned something as having happened only, like, 2 or 3 years ago, like, in comic timeline. Like,
right.
So there's always that sort of, the time that we read it is not the same amount of time that's passed for them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you have to then sit down, if you want to specifically say 5 years, well, what are the events that you want to keep in this universe? What are the big ones that you think are important? That your readers are going to think are important that you still want to have. Like, obviously, A Killing Joke still happened. Barbara Gordon
yep.
still got shot. When?
Didn't become Oracle, though.
She didn't become Oracle, but I mean, like, where did that happen? How long ago did that happen?
Yeah.
because if she was inspired by Batman, that's what made her decide to become Batgirl. I mean, did this happen like a week after Batman showed up? Yeah, she decided to become Batgirl?
Yeah, there wouldn't have been a lot of time for her to be Batgirl and get inspired and then get shot and...
Yeah, like, I mean...
And it's five years later now. And...
Like, that's the thing, right? Like, how long was Batman running around? Because, one, he was running around in secret. Hmm. How long was he doing that before people actually started to know who he was? To then be emulated, like... I mean, you could argue a little bit that, hey, she was Jim Gordon's daughter. Like, she could have known about him before anybody else.
Right.
But, I mean, the whole joke with Batgirl starting off originally was she was just showing up to a Halloween party.
Yep.
Dressed as Batgirl. And it ended up the Halloween party got attacked. And she's like, oh, well, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll keep doing this. Like, did this happen? Because to show up to a Halloween party in that costume, you got to think, okay, people have to know who Batman is for you to dress up. Like, if you don't know who Superman is, do you show up to a Halloween party dressed as Superman? No, everybody's going to ask you who the hell are you dressed as.
Yeah, yeah.
So, too many questions.
Yeah, I don't think they've even established her origin yet, like how it happened or when it happened.
And they're just ignoring a lot of stuff. I mean, the whole reason that we had talked about that timeline before was like, okay, where the hell does Damian Wayne come in?
Yeah.
If he's like 8 years old and Batman's only been around for five. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's like they didn't think about like, it's something that somebody says, it's called like fridge logic, where while you're reading or watching something, you're just caught up in it, you're whatever. It's later on when you go to the fridge to get like a glass of milk, you're like, wait a second. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. All right, before we go to the commercial, so I like to bring up these top 10 lists I find once in a while, and Newsarama did a list this week. So they recently announced that Flashpoint is the next DC animated movie.
Yes.
And Kevin Conroy's Bruce Wayne in it, but they haven't said who's going to voice Thomas Wayne yet or anything like that. Still waiting on that announcement.
I could see... Oh, what's his name? Who did it in Red Hood?
Bruce Greenwood.
Bruce Greenwood. Yeah. I could see him doing it.
That'd be kind of cool, actually.
Because it'd be a nice nod to the two of them as, like, Batman. But...
Yeah, so that'll be the next feature. It's coming out in July. The week of my birthday, by the way.
Ooh.
So they came up and... You can do your famous Hunter guess what's on the list thing.
This is my, like, Nostradamus predictions of what I think the list is going to be.
So they did their top 10 animated features. So
just DC or...
Anything.
Top 10...
Superhero features.
Superhero animated features.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Oh, just because of nostalgia, I'm going to put Pride of the X-Men on there.
Okay.
Which was, like, the old, like, 80s precursor to the X-Men cartoon of the 90s. I would probably put, Public Enemies, the Superman Batman Public Enemies is probably on there. Probably Crisis on Two Earths. As much as I hate it, they probably put Batman, Dark Knight Returns is probably on there. Animated superhero adaptations.
So far, one of your guesses has been on this list.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, just give me this list. I'm curious now.
And we'll see if you agree with any of this list. Number 10, there are some Marvel on here, too, actually. Number 10 was Hulk Versus. You ever see that one?
No.
It's two features in one. He fights Wolverine in one of them, and he fights Thor in the other. It was decent.
Was it like a recreation of like the first Wolverine and Hulk
fight? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Deadpool showed up in it, too.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. Number 9, Batman Beyond Return of the Joker.
Okay. Yeah, I was sort of I didn't even think to do those ones, because then you have, like, the Batman Beyond movie, there's the, Superman Batman one. Yeah, okay. I can see that. The Return of the Joker was a good one.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Number 8 was DC The New Frontier. Have you seen that one?
Yes. Oh, that was where they had, like, Nathan Fillion, or no, David Boreanaz as Hal Jordan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Neil Patrick Harris was the Flash.
Yes, one of my favorite lines has come out of that movie, which is, I bought like $1 million tonk of radioactive rock for the one in Metropolis. Nice to know all I need is a 5 cent book of matches for you.
Yeah,
I'm
that
like,
was
great. Ah, Batman.
You're silly.
You're awesome.
Number seven, next Avengers, Heroes of Tomorrow. That was the one where it was in the future. They had the Avengers kids. They were fighting Ultron. Old Man Hulk with a beard was in it.
Old Man Hulk with a beard. We've seen that Hulk before, haven't we? Did he have a beard on, like, Planet Hulk?
I think so. Tony Stark was still alive. All the other Avengers had died. They had a kid who could shrink. He was Henry Pym and the Wasp kid.
The Wasp's kid, yeah.
There was a Thor girl. It was decent. I was going to say,
then who did Thor...
Captain America and Black Widow had a kid.
That doesn't seem like the pairing that you'd think would have happened.
Yeah, Hawkeye had a kid. Diana really liked it. It was decent. Number six, I've never seen Hellboy, the Sword of Storms.
Heard of it. I think I've seen bits of it. It was well animated.
I think Ron Perlman did the voice for it as well.
Ron Perlman wants to come back and do every, like, Hellboy thing he can do in the world.
That's cool.
Because he had dressed up in full makeup to go to a hospital once.
That was great. Kids. That made me tear up, that story.
Ron Perlman wants to be Hellboy.
Yeah.
And he knows he's Hellboy. So, good for him.
Okay. Number five... You got a Superman-Batman movie, but Apocalypse was the one that made the list.
Oh, okay.
Which was pretty good.
Which was the Supergirl story.
The Supergirl story, Darkseid, and the animation was just like Michael Turner's art.
I was going to say, like, that, of the Batman-Superman storylines, like, that's one of my favorite. Like, that was the one, that was the one that got me collecting the rest of them.
Yeah, you were saying.
So, yeah, that's good.
Number four, Batman The Dark Knight Part 2.
Oh, okay.
Part one didn't make the list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Number three, Justice League Doom.
Oh, okay. That was the Tower of Babel storyline. Yeah. A good one. A really good one.
Cillian is Green Lantern in that one.
Yes.
Number two, Batman Under the Red Hood.
Yep, which was the Bruce Greenwood one and Jensen Ackles.
Yep, and Neil Patrick Harris was in that one as well, Nightwing.
Oh, yeah. Like, how many DC superheroes can Neil Patrick Harris play? Because he's also played Spider-Man before.
He has, yeah. And number one, you want to make a guess?
No, I'm not going to go for it.
I'll give you a hint. It's the only one that was released in theaters.
Mask of the Phantasm?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say that one, but I didn't think enough people would have seen it.
I actually saw that one in the theater, so...
It was good. They rushed it into theaters, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Because they wanted to get it out, like, I think they had something, a ridiculously short, like, 8 months or something to get it into.
Yeah, something like that. Great movie, though.
They had a lot of good, like, animated movies from that one. Like, the Sub-Zero one wasn't bad. The Mr. Freeze one.
That one was good. Return of the Batwoman wasn't that great.
Yeah, Mystery of the Batwoman, where like, who is the Batwoman?
Who cares?
Here's three different red herrings. Oops, they're all the Batwoman.
It was Kelly Ripa. Sweet. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek and comic book needs.
All right, we are back with Hunter and myself on this week's comic book panel. Thanks again for coming in, man.
Yeah, no worries. It got some new titles on my reading list that I didn't have there before. So.
Oh, cool. So... I go to this website called Comic Book Resource, and once in a while they have a vote where they'll mention a character or an artist or a writer, and they'll have people write in or vote on what their favorite stories were for each character.
Okay.
So I thought that'd be cool to try out here. And the first one I wanted to try, because I know you're a fan, was Spider-Man.
Okay.
And I thought of some stuff, like sort of like a greatest hits, I guess, or stuff you would recommend to someone getting into
Spider-Man.
The
best stories of this character, because there have been a lot of them, right? You've got like 50-some-odd years of stories.
Oh, yeah.
Some are going to be good.
So if there actually was like a friend of yours that hadn't ever heard of Spider-Man, I don't know what planet they're living on.
Ever heard of Spider-Man before. Yeah. That's weird. That's harder because, I mean, you want to sort of introduce them to the core of the character. And I think I'd probably go with, like, the first, like, trade of Ultimate Spider-Man for that. Because I think it's a really nice introduction to the character. It's high school Peter Parker at the time. So it's very much true to the character when he came out.
And that's how I got Kath into Spider-Man comics after that series.
Like, the Ultimate Universe did a very good job for that. Like, Spider-Man was probably one of the best Ultimate storylines that they did. And you get some classic villains who hadn't been back in a while and, to a point, had just become so lame in the mainstream universe. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, you look at Rhino. What's he really done in the mainstream? You know, like, comic storylines now are just so big and gripping. And to have just a guy in a Rhino costume who robs banks, I mean, it's not the biggest storyline. But when you can do it for the first time, like the quote-unquote first time, it comes off well. And there's just the shot of Mary Jane watching Spider-Man fight the Rhino on TV and her just saying, like, my boyfriend's gonna beat you up. Just love that.
Well, I actually thought of some stuff that some of them were just one issue or one or two issues.
Okay.
Did you ever read... Well, yeah, I think you have read this one, Kraven's Last Hunt.
I have.
Did you know that there was originally supposed to be a Batman and Joker story?
Really? Where the Joker takes on Batman?
Yeah, they pitched it to DC, and DC said no. So they rewrote it as a Spider-Man Kraven story, took it to Marvel, and...
Huh.
Creepy story.
There have been some weird ones where, like... Something about Kraven's family. They just want to be Spider-Man, because the Chameleon is Kraven's brother.
Yes.
And there's a storyline from the 90s where he locks Peter in an insane asylum, like, gives him a drug that takes away his powers, makes him think he's just some, like, schlub that, like, works a day job at an advertising company, and then goes home and pretends to be Peter and, like, tries and lives a life with Mary Jane.
Okay.
So,
I think I remember that one.
Ends with Mary Jane beating the stuffing out of the chameleon with a baseball bat and him running away.
Oh, wow.
But.
My absolute favorite Spider-Man run was Straczynski and John Romita Jr.'s run from issue 30 to 58 of Amazing Spider-Man and then 500 to 508 when they redid the numbering.
Right.
A lot of good stuff happened. Aunt May found out he was Spider-Man and didn't die.
Yeah.
We had the Moreland storyline. What else?
Straczynski also had the host. Or, no, not the host.
The other?
That was that one.
And then they had that 9/11 issue that came out during that time, too.
Everybody had a 9/11 issue.
But, like, after Romita left, that's when they started in with the horrible stories like Norman Osborn and Gwen Stacy, father twins.
Yes.
That was pretty lame.
Well, now, let's be fair, these days they're also running around with the Norman Osborn and his son's ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
Also have a baby.
Yeah.
That may or may not be, like, a weird new mutant because of the goblin. Anyways.
But, yeah.
They both had goblin DNA, like...
Oh, yeah, she was...
She was Menace.
Yes, okay.
So now their kid has apparently just been born with the goblin... stuff.
Yeah. But I always loved that run, and what else? The death of Gwen Stacy.
The death of Gwen Stacy is, like, but far and away, like, a must read. Like, you have to read this to, if you want to read Spider-Man, if you want to understand that character and the sacrifices and the tragedy that he's had to go through, that series is just in and of itself.
Yeah, if you want to see Spider-Man lose his mind and almost take revenge. Man.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, and that's the thing, like, he doesn't, and that that shows you who he is, so.
I was thinking if you're going to pick a series of just all-out action, either Maximum Carnage or Spider Island.
Spider Island was good for just straight-up, like, violence.
Yes.
I guess. I like the original Carnage storyline. Maximum Carnage goes off on so many weird tangents, and
yeah.
To be fair, there's a lot of weird cameos and guest stars.
Oh, that's right, too.
Because there's, like, I want to say Deathlok.
I think so. Was Iron Fist in that one, too?
Iron Fist was there. You got, like, Cloak and Dagger.
Jeez.
Cloak and Dagger, Firestar, Deathlok, Venom, Black Cat, Captain America shows up for a little bit.
Okay. It's been a while since I read it, so.
So it's just a, like, as opposed to a really nice crossover where it's like a who's who, this was a who's that.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the first, like, major Spider-Man events I had ever read, and I'm like, I have no idea who you are. Like, Cloak and Dagger die in, like, issue 3 of this 12-part series, and you're like, or Dagger died. And you're like, okay, I have no idea who that is. It's this, like, black guy in a cloak's girlfriend? Yeah. Wife? Sister? Not sure. He seems upset about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I mean, hey.
Yeah.
It was neat, because you got to see a bunch of villains that weren't really doing anything. I mean, Doppelganger, the crazy Spider-Man clone.
All right, okay.
The, like, six-armed Spider-Man clone.
With the insect eyes?
With the insect eyes and razor webbing.
Right.
Shriek, who I didn't think I'd seen before, and I don't think I've seen since. I think maybe she showed back up when they had, like, another Carnage storyline later on, but, like, Carrion.
Yeah. Oh, Carrion.
Like, there were just some weird, weird characters in that.
Do you have any you would throw on a list?
I happen to like the Revelations storyline, the end of the Clone Saga, because that needed a good end to it.
Most of that Clone Saga was okay, I thought.
I think if you boil down the Clone Saga to a couple of the storylines, so, Power and Responsibility was a good,
mm-hmm.
Storyline. That was where Mary Jane gets pregnant and Peter finally goes, nope, I'm done. Like, I'm hanging up the mantle of Spider-Man. I'm giving it to you. And that's a good story. Like, that was a really good storyline. I thought it was a nice passing of the torch,
mm-hmm.
kind of one. A bunch of crazy stuff happened in the middle. But,
dude, I remember reading that back in the day thinking, that is ballsy to make Ben Reilly the real Spider-Man. And I was cool with that. And yeah. Then they backflip so many times after that.
Well, it gives you a chance to introduce, like, a whole new supporting cast. Like, if you're not going to change who Spider-Man is, change up who he's interacting with. And if you want to change his entire supporting cast, that's great.
And I was cool with Peter going off on his own and...
Yeah,
I was okay with two Spider-Men running around.
Yeah, he shows up every so often, but, like, you get, like, I mean, you get this better than I do. Like, you find out you're having a kid, all of a sudden your entire worldview is going to shift, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
And it's very real to go, like, oh my god, I could have totally just fallen to my death here and my mm-hmm. baby would have grown up without a father. Like,
yeah.
Nope, I'm done. So,
no,
the
like
Revelation storyline brings him back, just the, like, to form. And it was a nice resetting the status quo, because it was bringing back Peter Parker as Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And within a year of that, you had a lot of his major villains had come back, and you got some nice storylines out of that. You got Electro back. Doc Ock came back from the dead.
Yeah.
At that point. Green Goblin was back. Morbius came back, and mm-hmm. even the Shocker made a guest
yeah.
shot. And the only reason he got a one-up on Spider-Man on that is because Spider-Man was reeling from fighting Morbius.
Oh, that's
Shocker
right.
just shot him off a building.
Bastard.
Spider-Man also fought the Juggernaut. right after that.
Did you ever read the, it was out in the early 80s, it was a two-part story, Nothing Stops the Juggernaut, which Spider-Man was trying everything.
Oh, yeah.
He drove a truck into him.
Spider-Man has not been able to do anything.
I think he finally defeated him by making him sink through wet cement or something.
Oh, wow.
And then it took him forever to dig his way out.
Jeez. Oh, that's a good, like, single-shot story, too. There's the one, I'm blanking on what happens, but it just sort of ends with, like, an entire tunnel has collapsed on Spider-Man, and he's just gotta, like, man up, and he just lifts, like, this entire subway tunnel up off of him.
Was it the, one of the early issues? The Master Planner or something like that?
Yeah, it was really early.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. It's an iconic picture.
Another good one was, the introduction of Anti-Venom.
Yeah.
I really liked, because they had done something really neat with Venom, and with, by giving him to the Scorpion, and they got to do a nice callback to Eddie Brock, giving him a new purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was very much, Venom didn't really fit Eddie Brock anymore as a, like, I want to be a hero. But you got, like, another Scorpion suit. Norman Osborn designing a Scorpion suit of armor to go with the Venom symbiote. Like, that was...
Yeah.
That was great. I mean, I just hated that they got rid of Anti-Venom eventually with the Spider-Island storyline.
Right.
So... I think you could have done a little bit more with that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I would, you know what? I would actually put the Superior Spider-Man right up.
Superior Spider-Man has been an amazing run. I would also put up the Spider-Man, the crossover with Miles.
That was great, too.
Because I think that one was really well done. But yeah, Superior Spider-Man has been fantastic. The latest issues.
Well, hold that thought.
Yes.
Let's take a break, because you know it's coming.
I do know
it's coming. The big reason I asked you down here was to talk about Superior Spider-Man. So we'll be right back after these words.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
All right, we are back, and here's the moment of the show I'm looking forward to. Hunter is my superior Spider-Man friend.
Yes.
And since you were last on the panel, two issues have come out.
Yes.
One was the Age of Ultron crossover, and one was the regular issue where he begins his confrontation with the Avengers.
Yeah, I was upset a little that it was a begins his confrontation,
because
there was a lot of lead up to very little actually happening. But yeah, so the Age of Ultron issue comes out, and we had talked about this where in Age of Ultron, it feels like Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems written with Peter Parker's voice, his one-liners, his sort of attitude in general is very Peter Parker. And then the sort of side story comes out, and it's, nope, I'm still Otto Octavius.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the storyline itself is, the one-shot is nice, because it's a... hey, I think I've got a better way of doing this. It's very much, I'm a superior Spider-Man. I've got a better way of solving this problem. And I think he learns a good lesson at the end. I think, like, the realizing that he needs to team up with people sometimes.
Yeah. We both thought that they probably wrote Age of Ultron, like, a long time ago before they knew it was going to go on with Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, I'm positive that they have not, like, that he was written to be Peter Parker, that they had no idea that they were going to have Otto Octavius in that body. Because there's nothing in any of those issues that says, even just pretending.
Yeah.
Like, even, there's no, well, I mean, I think that's, I'll get more into that with Age of Ultron. But no, Superior Spider-Man's been great. We got the return of Cardiac, a 90s anti-hero.
I totally forgot about that guy.
The 90s were full of anti-heroes.
Yes.
But I like this guy. I like that he's willing, like, he sort of skirts the law to run his own medical clinic.
Yes.
And I think it's pretty cool, and the way he goes about it, at least in this issue, is kind of neat, where he realizes that they've got a bunch of confiscated supervillain equipment. Some of that's got to be good for use. And goes to break into a warehouse. And, of course, Otto Octavius is like, nope, he's a bad guy. I'm going to beat up bad guys.
Yeah.
And then gets even more pissed off when he realizes that it's his stuff that's being stolen.
That was awesome.
Which was great, because you're like, who are you stealing? Otto Octavius, you jerk! And just goes to town on him. But we get an interesting little start to the recovery of Peter Parker, I guess it is.
Moves his right arm. Yep. While Doc Ock is sleeping.
While Doc Ock is sleeping. Next, he's going to try and push a penny across a subway platform. And then he's going to find Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, jeez.
No, it's... Again, I think it's still happening. I think it's still happening too fast. But maybe that's just because I don't want the Superior Spider-Man to end.
Apparently, the solicitations say something big is going to happen
in issue 9.
That might piss people off.
Yeah. So, I wonder if they've sort of been dangling this ghost Peter as a, hey, everybody, don't worry. Peter can still come back. And I wonder if this will be the issue that they, like, banish him. Or he
could
goes
be.
Away.
Could be.
Because now it looks like Octavius is starting to realize that Peter's there. Because he hears him, like, more actively. Like, before he had just sort of... Peter would say something and you'd have Ock react to it afterwards as opposed to, like, at the moment. But Octavius specifically hears Peter's voice.
Avenging Spider-Man is being retitled to Superior Spider-Man Team-Up.
Yeah. Which, so. Hey, that's what it was. I mean, yeah. it was the Marvel Team-Up. Like, it was the Spider-Man Team-Up. But yeah, no, I'm interested to see what Issue 9 does. Yeah. There's still an Issue 8 to come, too, so...
Yeah.
I love that he goes to just quit the Avengers. Like,
yeah.
Why not? If he's just mad at them. All he's been doing is really just using the Avengers card to get into places.
Oh, pretty
right?
much,
like,
yeah.
He'd just be like, I'm an Avenger. Let me through.
Yeah, there's going to be a good fight in the next issue, I think.
I think it'll be interesting, because he's already sort of had a little toe-to-toe with Wolverine and a little one with Thor.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I think Black Widow's just going to get, like, curb stomped. And, like, but it'll be interesting to see... Like, if he's planned for this. Because that's what it seems to be with this Spider-Man, is he's had backup plans for a lot of cases, and I think he'd be prepared for this
one. He probably does, so I can't wait to see what he has.
So, but yeah, no, they, and, I mean, we've gotten the teaser in the Avenging Spider-Man with the Future Foundation, where the time travel guys have gone... He does something bad.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with time travel. Like, we just have to let it happen. So, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I will definitely, like, I will pick up every trade they have of this.
That's awesome. I lent the issues to Balmer, so I'm waiting to hear what he thought of it, too. But.
Yeah, no, I think he'll like it. I think it's very smartly written. So...
All right, and you're right up to date on Age of Ultron, I guess?
I am. Oh, yeah, I'm past you now.
Yeah, I'm
one just read the other one, I guess, Wednesday when it came out. Because I guess they're staggering it in a weird way.
Yeah, like 2 or 3 a month.
There's been like 2 weeks, and then now there's like 1 a week. So.
It's moving kind of slow.
Yeah, well. We can complain about it on air.
Yes, and that's what we're doing.
Oh, are we on air right now? See, this is why I don't...
We are on air right now.
Oh, God.
I don't understand why this is 10 issues, because it's really slow-paced right now.
Which is funny, because nothing's happening.
Yeah.
For 10 issues, if stuff was happening, like, great. I mean, we had Luke Cage and... She-Hulk, try and go in and go, ha, we're going to figure out what's going on with with this whole thing. And it, like, they keep setting up this plan of having to sell a hero to Ultron.
Yeah.
And it goes out of the window in like 2 pages. They're like, well, that plan failed. What's next on the agenda?
The last thing I read, they were off to the Savage Land.
Yes. So, the issue I've read now, they got to the Savage Land. They meet somebody there. And he's got a plan for them.
Of course.
So,
and it'll fail real fast. And
I don't know. The way it's looking is a couple people agree with the plan. They're going with him. Wolverine has said no. He's got his own plan.
Okay.
So, the issue ends with Wolverine going, all right, they've left. They're doing their thing. Here's the real plan.
Okay.
Because it's Captain America, Iron Man, and Red Hulk, who picks up a new toy. He picks up Hercules' axe.
All right.
So they're off with secret mystery character. And then Hawkeye, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Black Widow are kind of left behind to go, all right, this is the real plan.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's picking up a little pace, and I had a feeling that what's happening is the way it was going to have to go. Yeah, I wish you had read the newest issue, because there's a couple things I want to complain about, but just in general, yeah, no, it's been moving very, very slowly. I mean, we talked about, like, how issue 2 was just, here's a bunch of shots of a destroyed city. Okay.
Great.
That's keen. So, and yeah, nobody seems to be themselves. I mean, they're very much, like, beaten and broken, and nobody's just really them. So, okay. I mean, I think the thing I miss the most about this is I miss hearing, like, the character's thoughts. Like, I like thought, like, the thought bubbles or, like, the little side captions as they explain what they think about what's going on. But there's none of that. Like, there's so many characters that you're not getting any of that story from them. So, I mean, I think that's why it's really easy to just look at Peter Parker and go, well, you're Peter Parker. You're not Otto Octavius, because I have no internal monologue for you to know that you're just pretending to be.
That would have been helpful, actually.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Stark, he got his one little, like, one-shot. I didn't even realize Quicksilver was with them until the Superior Spider-Man one-shot.
Right.
Because that he's apparently part of this plan to stop Ultron. And I'm like, oh, so Quicksilver, when'd you get here? I mean, I guess you're fast, but where you been the whole time? Couldn't you have easily gotten Spider-Man and come back? And nobody would have had to have been mad at Hawkeye.
Oh, I can't wait to read that issue then. Then I'll listen to your complaints.
Yeah, they keep like making it sound like they always have to check people that have been away for some kind of like infection or something. But there's no explanation for what they're looking for or why this is so important. So that's bugging me too, because they're making a point of mentioning it. They keep making a point of mentioning Thor has died. Which makes me think, like, if you keep mentioning it, I'm going to think it's important. Or is it just them trying to use it as a... There's a term that's called wharf bashing.
Okay.
Based on Star Trek The Next Generation, whenever they wanted to show, like, a new villain or something was tough, they would show up and they'd throw Worf across the room.
All right.
So it led to, whenever somebody wants to show that the situation they're in is dire, whoever's shown up will beat up the strongest person in the room. Or whoever the audience is supposed to think is the strongest person.
Okay.
So, I wonder if they're just doing this to go, wait, you guys know how strong Thor is. Thor's dead. That means this is serious. So, and they kind of gave an unceremonious death to She-Hulk. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you got shot in the head. That sucks.
Well, gotta go.
Yeah. And we're gonna throw Luke Cage across town.
Oh, boy.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
a new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics is the place to buy all your new comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Located at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls, we have over 20,000 back issues, Wi-Fi, arcade, posters, DVDs, MTG, RPG games, board games, complete with 1,400 square feet of gaming tables and vintage arcade downstairs. Pulp Comics cares about you and your comic buying experience. That's why all of our comics are bagged and boarded, whether you're a pull-list subscriber or just shop off the rack. Table rentals are now $5 for a full session of tabletop goodness. Bring your own game or play any of the available house games. Cards, dice, pawns, and pencils, everything you need for an evening of competitive social interaction, schemes and intrigue, luck, both good and bad included, and an awful lot of fun. At Pulp Comics, we have the fiction for your affliction.
Okay, so I'll check that out. And you read the new Star Wars series today.
I did. I read all four issues of the new Star Wars series. It's good and bad.
Okay, well, first off, what do you think are the bad things?
Okay, I think the bad things are Captain Exposition and his Wookiee fairy. I feel like every scene with Han Solo is him just expositing dialogue with a thrown in. It's like Chewbacca's dialogue is only there as an excuse to just dump more exposition at the audience. So it's just boring. I mean, he's been shot at by Boba Fett, and he's been shot at by random stormtroopers, but nothing seems to be happening.
Yeah, his has been the least interesting story so far.
Which is funny, because it could have been the most interesting. I mean, yeah. You set him up as a, I don't care about Jabba. I care about the fact that I can't go to all these black marketplaces. And, like, there's a gap between the end of A New Hope and a beginning of Empire Strikes Back. Like, how did he go from, yeah, okay, I came back to help you guys save the day, to, yup, I'm the general, or I'm like a commander in your army. Everybody follows my orders, and I'm like in it for the long haul, and I reluctantly have to leave now. So there's a story to tell of, like, how did he go, like, more gung-ho about the rebellion?
Yeah.
Right now, he just seems to be their, like, errand boy, and I wouldn't have, like, faulted him for just going, well, I got some money out of the deal. See you guys later. Good luck with this rebellion thing. I don't like Luke's story either. No. Luke is just bugging me. One, he seems way too whiny and cocky to be Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Like, he feels like prequel Anakin Skywalker. Like, I helped you kill the Death Star, and I'm the best pilot you've got. Why aren't you listening to me? Like, and it doesn't match up with his character. Like, he was all, like, for the cause. He was all, like, yeah, I'm in it to help out. I think part of it, too, is I've played some of the Star Wars games set between 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, an entire Rogue Squadron series of games where, like, he's in charge of Rogue Squadron. Like, he's not second to Wedge. But I like Leia's storyline.
Yeah.
Leia's storyline's been great. You took a character who had, let's be honest, no depth in the original series. She was, I'm a badass girl. Like, first movie, I don't need a man, but if you guys could rescue me, that'd be neat. To, like, just disappearing and staring at a screen for the last, like, third of the movie. Yeah. Like, yay, we won! And I really did nothing to help that cause. to the second movie going all doe-eyed, weak-kneed for the bad boy. Like, you went from a strong, independent woman to, I love you and my loving loveness. And like, yeah, she picks up a blaster and goes to town when Han's frozen. But
right.
You don't, like, I don't know. And then the third movie, she's just a slave. And then she runs around with the Ewoks. Okay?
So it was about time they showed her kicking some ass then.
I mean, yeah, I think you had mentioned this on a past episode. Like, we've never really seen her fly anything. Like, great. Show her doing stuff. I mean, if she was as an important figure to the Rebellion, it's nice to see her doing that. Like, they've very much given her a good storyline for this.
Yeah.
I like the Vader rivalry that they've got with this new commander, or this new general that's taken over his ship.
Yeah, that's
they've got
good.
Vader on, like, menial duty out at the second Death Star, going like, yep, you're on timeout, mister. But it'll be interesting to see, like, because by the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, he's back out hunting for the Rebellion.
Yes.
And he's got a Superstar Destroyer now. Like, ha, you've been demoted. You can't have your Star Destroyer anymore. By the way, here's one that's like 14 times the size of it. But you're being punished. So, but yeah, no, like, I like that. Like, give Vader somebody to have a rivalry with. Like, I mean, some of the best stories are when you can put somebody up against Vader. Like, Shadows of the Empire is good because you have Prince Xizor going up against him. Like,
yeah.
It's somebody that Vader has to watch out for and be worried about. That he can't just force choke or, like this comic, stab through the chest with a lightsaber when he feels like it. Yeah. Which seemed very out of character for
him.
Yeah,
it did, actually.
Because he's intimidating. Like, he's an intimidating guy. He rules by fear. And just stabbing somebody and turning off your sword doesn't really seem like that. Like, the force choking, it's intimidating to be just standing beside somebody and just seeing them choke to death.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, no, like, half of it's good so far. Boba Fett disappeared pretty quickly.
Yeah, he hasn't been seen since issue
like,
one.
Okay, I got shot at. Well, good thing Boba Fett's not around anymore. Like, yeah, some, like, I mean, like, I know a lot of weird background information about the Star Wars universe, mostly from playing the card game, because it all came with, like, little extra bits of information, so...
Okay.
I like picking up little pieces of that, like, the medical frigate that they're docked on, they use the right name for it, because it's the Redemption.
Right.
It's the same one that Luke goes and gets his hand replaced on at the end of Empire, and... I mean, you've got the TIE Interceptors being rolled out.
Yeah.
It feels kind of weird that they're like, hey, we've got these super TIE Interceptors that have hyperdrive and, like, proton torpedoes. They're like X-Wings, only evil-looking.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird, because the Empire's always just been about, we have a bunch of expendable guys. We're just going to mass-produce ships and stormtroopers. Like, that's how we win. And to have them switch to this very rebel-feeling tactic seems... kind of out of place.
Yeah.
I like that there's a bad guy that doesn't have to be a Sith Lord to be evil and intimidating.
Cool.
So we'll see where it goes.
Definitely. And before we go, what did you think of Batman issue 19?
Batman issue 19? Interesting. I like the villain that they brought back in it. So, I mean, I think this is like the fourth or fifth version of this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So... I'll be curious to see what they're doing. What I don't like is the little extra stories that they keep tacking on to the end of these Batman issues. Like, there was, like, random Batman Superman story at the end of this one. At the end of 18, it was, here's random news conference of, like, new, or, like, 52 news, like...
Oh, geez, yeah. Well, I mean, I would rather they just continue with the main story for
Well, that's the thing.
Pages.
Like, the main story just feels short because you've got pages dedicated to this little side story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's neat. It's an interesting concept, but it's like, one, first of all, like, Bruce Wayne as a bad guy. We've done this story before. I mean, you had the Bruce Wayne murderer storyline from, like, mid-2000s.
Yep.
So... I hope something different comes out of this that makes it interesting, but... I mean, you brought back a villain that I don't think we've seen in a while.
No, I can't remember the last time he's been seen.
So...
Like, maybe before Infinite Crisis?
Well, it'll also be interesting because I think this is his first New 52 appearance.
It is, yeah.
So... I mean, this goes back to that timeline. Is he the first one? Is he the only one? there others of... Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
A nice little tribute to Damian in the issue, too.
Yeah. Like, I mean... yeah, they do seem to be setting up in issue 18, the one girl. It's like, I want to be Robin. No, you can't be Robin. All right, I'll be over here until you decide that you want me to be Robin. But yeah, no, there's a nice tribute to Damian, I think.
I guess
there's a couple writers that are just like, I have no idea why they killed Damian off. This sucks. I guess I'll have my little tip of the hat to him.
Yeah.
Because really, I don't know why they killed off Damian. I mean,
yeah.
I guess the only reason I can think of is because the dynamic between he and Bruce is very one note. But it was getting better. I mean, you had a lot more father-son moments coming out of that. I mean, Damian was a very good Robin for Dick Grayson.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
It flipped the dichotomy. It was a very serious Robin to a very lighthearted Batman. So maybe they felt with Batman coming back the way he is that they couldn't also have a serious Robin.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I don't like nose hook Robin, proto-Robin that they've got running around.
Nose hook Robin. That's awesome. Okay. Well, that's about all the time we have, actually, man. So I want to say thank you again for showing up.
No problem.
And for answering the call to arms and give you a lovely Vulcan salute and a tip of the Indiana Jones fedora. My way of saying in geek, thanks for being
here. Yeah, no, I always like coming out.
Well, we got to take off to help the Fantastic Four's mail be delivered by Willie Lumpkin. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on We Got the Geek.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.